When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the director says that she's referred these filings to the Justice Department for a criminal investigation, tonight we're told they formed what is called a strike force. Do you have concerns that they will attempt to prosecute you?
Well, certainly I do. After 8.5 years of this, and I don't know of an intelligence product that was more scrutinized, more investigated than that product. Was by numerous people. It's very disconcerting. It really is. And I take seriously when the President of the United States accuses me of being a participant in a treasonous conspiracy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, what's your reaction to that?
It's ridiculous. It is untrue.
So what will you do if they come after you? What is your plan?
Well, I'll lawyer up. I suppose already have.
You've already hired attorneys in case of in anticipation that this Trump Justice Department could try to prosecute.
We've had sort of perpetual attorneys since I left the government in 2017.
James Clapper saying, sounds like we're getting pretty close to lawyering up. I can't imagine that he doesn't already have something put in place here to defend himself against the accusations that we heard yesterday from Tulsi Gabbard in the White House or at the press room. Were you able to go back, Ryan, and re-listen to any of that stuff? Did you do a refresh?
Well, I've listened to it enough through promos and afterwards that yes, I did. Yes.
Okay. The answer. It's simply yes.
I could have just said yes. It made it easy.
Or just like told me what you thought about it.
Or I could have told you what I thought about it.
Let me rephrase. 24 hours later, Ryan, do you have any extra thoughts about the Tulsi Gabbard press conference yesterday and Russiagate now looking like it's a pretty big deal?
I'm glad you asked that, Annie.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes, I do. I do believe that this story is finally starting to break through. This was information that has been coming out for days now, and it's finally being taken seriously after that press conference yesterday.
Let's go back and listen a little bit to what Tulsi Gabbard had to say regarding the crux of what we heard yesterday and really the kind of earth-shattering portion of this. Here's Tulsi answering the question.
Thank you. And Director Gabbard, this one is for you. Do you believe that any of this new information implicates former President Obama in criminal behavior?
We have referred and will continue to refer all of these documents to the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate the criminal implications of this.
For even former the evidence, President Obama?
Correct. The evidence that we have found and that we have released directly point to President Obama leading the manufacturing of this intelligence assessment. There are multiple pieces of evidence and intelligence that confirm that fact.
You know, I think back to some of the things that were thrown at Donald Trump in when he was running for office the second time, maybe even a little bit before he officially said he was. But remember all those things that they kind of manufactured around him, a lot of skepticism that they were trying to storm up around him. Specifically, the thing that actually got him the mugshot. The suggestion that he, you know, what did he do? Doctor documents and campaign finance illegalities and explain it. Can you explain it?
That's a no. I'm having a
Brad,
tough
can you explain
time.
It?
How he a doctor documents?
No. What is he a felon for?
Oh, I don't know the law on that.
Was it the one that he overinflated the assets that he owned, or was that a different
essentially,
case?
It was essentially fraud that he was alleged in New York because of the way that his books kept money that came in. Was it a campaign contribution? Was it not?
Yes.
These bookkeepers. Like, I've said this many times before, while we were walking through the whole trial, when it was questionable whether he'd actually be charged, President Trump would actually be charged with this, and then, of course, the trial, and then, of course, the conviction, now the appeal. I'd pay... I can't really actually do this, so this is just facetious, but I'd pay his fine if Donald Trump could figure out how to commit that crime again. The exact same crime.
Okay, yeah.
Do it again.
Yeah, because it had to do with... That's when they were trotting in Stormy Daniels and all that stuff. It's hard to keep track of which one was which.
Well, because they overlap.
Yeah.
The point being that when you shift over to Adam Schiff, who has a house, I believe, in Maryland and a house in California, where he is a senator. Many senators have houses in the Washington, D.C. area and one in the state with which they reside. But it's not about the fact that he has two houses. That's what Adam Schiff keeps saying. He's like, everybody, all the senators have two places. That's just how it goes. Oh, poor baby has two houses. Everybody's doing it. He got in trouble. And that's not what it is. That's not how it went. That's not what the problem is. He was changing factual information on mortgage applications to get a better deal, which is mortgage fraud, which is the same type of crime that Donald Trump has a conviction on. But when they're throwing it at Adam Schiff, I'm sitting here going, gosh, this is so small. This is so tedious. But he deserves every bit of the book that they can throw at Adam Schiff for being one of the concoctors of this Russiagate scenario that ended up in an impeachment of a man based on something that never, ever happened. I have it imprinted in my brain when they were going through the impeachment process. First one, remember this? It was about Ukraine. It was about the, you might remember, perfect phone call. Who was that perfect phone call in between? Donald Trump, Vladimir Zelensky. This is before Russia decided to invade Ukraine. Just ask Donald Trump, because he said he never would have done it if Donald Trump would have continued to be the president. Zelensky was saying, hey, we need to beef up our defense here, and we need you to send us the stuff you've sent us before. We need more. Feels like there's a threat out there coming towards Ukraine. Zelensky was right. And Donald Trump said, well, yeah, we can talk about that. We can do that. But we need a little bit of your help cooperating with an investigation we have currently. And we'd like to see you guys cooperate with our investigators and answer our questions post-haste. And Zelensky's like, okay, but we really need those munitions. And Donald Trump does what he does, and he negotiated. He was a strong-armed deal maker. He never didn't give them those arms and munitions. He never held anything back. But all of that idea that somehow or another, the lie that was told to the American people by Adam Schiff is that Donald Trump was withholding defense systems from Ukraine. Why would he do that? Who is looking to go into Ukraine? Russia. And if you are looking to help Vladimir Putin, everybody knows that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin wear BFF necklaces with each other. They love each other. They're best friends. It seems as though this tracks with everything else we know. Donald Trump is strong-arming Zelensky and putting the Ukrainian people in danger to help Russia and Vladimir Putin. Except that never happened. It never, ever happened. Chuck Grassley and I think Ron Johnson from Wisconsin in the United States Senate, in that impeachment process, were saying, listen, we have investigations going on, and the investigations have to do with Ukraine. And they didn't come out and say it, but everybody else kind of said it. It had to do with the Biden family. They wanted to look into, they were in an active participation investigation into what we find out is Hunter Biden, Burisma, that whole relationship. At the same time that that's all going on, it's an election year. And Joe Biden, they're saying that Donald Trump is trying to help Vladimir Putin and hurt his political opponent. Folks, when this was formulating and amassing, Joe Biden was not going to be the nominee. You remember that primary process. You had a lot of people up there, a lot of people to choose from. Joe Biden looked as old then. I don't know if he looked as old then as he did now, but he certainly looked super old and inept.
Yes.
Adam Schiff said that Donald Trump was hurting Ukraine on behalf of Russia because they were best buddies, because Donald Trump is colluding with Russia, and they were doing it all to hurt a political opponent, who was Joe Biden. All this time, the Biden family was actually under investigation for inappropriate relationships, business deals, which we have now found out were inappropriate across the globe. That all came to fruition. That investigation showed us what kind of man Hunter Biden is and what kind of operation that the big guy runs. We know all of this now. We know it now. But that impeachment was based on two lies. The entire Biden family, which is just one big fat lie. The whole thing is a lie. The Biden family has done everything they can to get where they want on the behalf of trading favors and making deals to seek power. None of that concerns the American people's betterment. It's for their betterment. The impeachment, the first impeachment, was based on the lie that the Biden family is clean and not corrupt. And the other lie would never been able to get anywhere with this suggestion. Like, Zelensky even came out and was like, everything's fine. Zelensky didn't come out and publicly try to throw Trump under the bus and say he got what he wanted. He got what he wanted. And the only reason that any of that would get any momentum is because we had talked for years about Donald Trump's inappropriate relationship with Russia, which was all Barack Obama's lie. Now, there are a lot of people talking right now about Russiagate, and they're saying it could be the biggest political scandal in American history. Is that too big of a statement?
No.
I don't think so either.
It could be. It probably is.
Maybe we'll find that out, and maybe we'll have the whole thing run its course, and we'll find that out. Maybe we won't. But we already know some new facts that show that Barack Obama was corrupt to the core. And he wanted to sabotage the person that the American voters chose to be the president. For some reason, there was something that he was trying to protect so much. There was something he was so afraid of Donald Trump seeing, getting his hands on, that he was willing to do to manufacture an intelligence report to try to completely ruin Donald Trump's ability to govern. And in the midst of this, Ghislaine Maxwell is now testifying or being interviewed. I don't know if it's an under oath situation. Did I hear this is the first time that the Department of Justice has interviewed her?
Is that not shocking? I mean, really?
Yes. I don't have words. That will be a developing story throughout the day as well. It's been suggested that, it's funny, which political side of the aisle are you on? Or maybe it's not even just that bipartisan. Is Russiagate a cover-up for Epstein? Is this all coming out? Because the Epstein stuff was hitting Donald Trump hard there for a week. He was saying, don't pay attention to it. There's nothing there. We've done everything we can. Move on. If you aren't moving on, you're not my supporter. And then all of a sudden, Russiagate gets dropped. Is Russiagate a cover-up for Epstein? Or are we now interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell because the Epstein stuff is supposed to cover up and all the push that's coming from the Democrat side of the aisle? We need the Epstein files. Is the Epstein story a cover-up for Russiagate? Or both? Or neither. The bottom of this question is nobody trusts this government at all. And you shouldn't. They certainly haven't earned it. Hans von Spakovsky, our guest, when we come back, I'm just going to be like, Hans, talk to me and let him say everything from what he heard yesterday from Tulsi Gabbard. Hans has a great way of saying things from that legal mind that we appreciate each week. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And Hans von Spakovsky is next on the Annie Fry Show.
Well, I'm going to.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. It's a pleasure to be with you this Thursday afternoon. I want to get directly to our guest, Hans von Spakovsky, back with us on this Thursday. He is the Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC Commissioner as well. Hans, such a pleasure to have you. We're so grateful to talk to you today on Zoom as well as over the air, of course. Yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard takes to the podium in the press room, and this is where I hand it over to you, Hans. What did that statement that she made mean to you?
It means that one of the most dangerous events inside the executive branch of the federal government happened in our entire history, which was that intelligence reports were falsified under the direction of the president with the cooperation of the head of national intelligence, the FBI, and other high officials. Why? For political purposes, to target the incoming administration, the incoming president, and to do everything they could to handicap his administration. Look, we've had a lot of scandals in American history, but I don't think we've ever had a situation like this. It is extremely dangerous. It's the kind of thing that happens, frankly, in third world countries.
Man, you might call it a constitutional crisis. Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us. We've been threatened with those so much, but it's weird that getting Donald Trump into office has caused us to expose those on the other side, potentially. It seems to me that there is some sloppiness that took place with Obama, with the intelligence community, to allow something like this to be discovered. Unless you felt like Donald Trump would never get back into office, or if you felt like you had the deep state so on lockdown that they'd be able to protect this information, do you think they were sloppy, or maybe the people in there right now are just determined enough to get to the bottom of it?
Well, I think they were sloppy, and I think they believed that this would never be discovered, because look, it wasn't disclosed during the first term of Trump. You know, the people that he had in office obviously did not dig into the depths of the communications and other things going on. It's only now in the second term that they have actually dug into this to find this and disclose it. And let me tell you, whether or not a criminal prosecution can be done after all these years, I think that's actually kind of doubtful, even though it should have happened. But this disclosure is important because every individual who was involved in this should never, ever be allowed to hold a position in the government ever again. And they need to figure out what kind of safeguards should be put in place in law enforcement and in our intelligence agencies to make sure this can't happen again.
Hans, you bring up the point. I think we need to manage expectations across the board that this information, it seems like we're either going to we want some buts, or it's just everyone's just going to get away with everything. Like, these are the only two outcomes. The truth will probably lie somewhere in the middle of that. Do you anticipate anybody being arrested, facing jail time for what is done?
The biggest problem they've got is the statute of limitations. Most federal crimes have a 5-year statute of limitations. This all happened, remember, in end of 2016, beginning of 2017, which is more than 5 years. The way to get around that is to argue to a court that they hid it, you know, if you hide something, then that can what they call toll or stop the statute of limitations from running. The other thing they can try to claim if they want to criminally prosecute is to say that, well, it started in 2016 and 2017, but that all these different parties, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, continue to take steps to make sure this conspiracy went forward and was hidden, and therefore it also kept the statute of limitations from running. The biggest crime they potentially face, by the way, is perjury, because, as you know, folks like Brennan testified before Congress and denied anything like this had happened. And the other potential crime is what's called obstruction of an official proceeding, which includes destroying or falsifying government documents. And the evidence is that they falsified intelligence reports. So those are the crimes they could be prosecuted for.
Is there this presidential immunity, official acts, that type of executive power extend to any of the things that Barack Obama did or that his associates did?
Yeah, folks who are hoping that Barack Obama will be criminally prosecuted, that's just not going to happen. Because remember, when Jack Smith, the special counsel, went after Donald Trump, tried to criminally prosecute him, that case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court came back and said, presidents have immunity from criminal prosecution for actions they take within the scope of their presidential duties. Now, you can try to argue that what Obama did was not within the scope of his official duties, because it was obviously politics. But trying to argue that in a court and trying to convince a court that they should override the presumptive presidential immunity, I would figure a case like that would have almost no chance of succeeding.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I want to know about if any of this were to go to trial. And what I hear you saying is that might not be the path that some of this goes down. It might be more of investigations, committee hearings, that type of thing. Right. But if it were to go to trial, at least when the roles were reversed and Joe Biden was the president and Donald Trump was the defendant in a host of different places, it seemed like it mattered very, very much where the court case was going to be filed, the districts, the judges, right, and everything. Is the Trump administration or the Trump Department of Justice up against it as well, because these would have to be filed in D.C.? How does that work?
The answer to that, unfortunately, is yes. District of Columbia, the nation's capital, the judges are overwhelmingly Democratic appointees. The juries are overwhelmingly Democratic. I mean, I don't exaggerate if I tell you that if a Republican in this town, Republican politician, is prosecuted for jaywalking, a jury in this town would love to sentence them to 5 years in prison for. If you're a Democrat and you commit the most egregious crimes, getting a Democratic jury in this town to convict you is very difficult. I know that's
no,
I know it's frustrating.
We want the truth.
It upsets people, but that's one of the problems with the District of Columbia.
Hans, I've got a couple people commenting as they're watching on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, of course, listening on 97.1 as well. Some people are suggesting that they haven't seen any evidence that the intelligence community falsified anything. They're saying they had high confidence. Another person says falsified or interpreted differently. So based on the information Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, presented yesterday, is it open to interpretation whether or not President Obama thought that an initial report was open to interpretation?
No, I think folks are wrong about that, because what the intelligence reports that are done by the career people said was that there was no evidence that there was some kind of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And remember, that was the crux of the claims that were made. Also, even though everyone admitted the Russians were trying to meddle in the election, the intelligence analysts also said that the Russians actually had not had the capability to actually successfully hack or otherwise change or really do anything significant or even not that significant in the election. That's what those analysts said. That's what the initial intelligence reports said. And yet all of a sudden, Clapper, the president, others said, well, I don't like that conclusion. You need to change it. They didn't have any other intelligence on which to base telling those analysts to change that. So anyone who says that, oh, this doesn't really show any wrongdoing, I'm sorry, but that's just not right.
Yeah, that's a political choice on the interpreter there. Is there evidence that was presented yesterday that suggests that Russia, because we were told that Russia had intelligence information that the government possessed that they decided to hold back, and it was damning to Hillary Clinton. Do we know anything more now who Russia would have preferred to have won that election, or who they were preparing to have won that election?
Well, I don't know who they would have preferred, but we do know that from a lot of declassified documents that foreign agents, which I'm sure included Russia, did get access to the unsecured server that she set up in a closet in her house and through which she ran all her official email communications at the State Department. She should have been prosecuted for that. Other folks who have worked for the government have been prosecuted for much lesser stupid actions like that when it comes to classified information. And it was clearly a political decision by Comey to not prosecute her for that. In fact, listen, there was a prior case years ago in which the former head of the CIA was prosecuted because he took classified materials to his home.
Right.
He entered into a plea agreement rather than have to go to court. So the idea that she couldn't be prosecuted for this, I mean, that was a political decision. It was not one based on the law and the facts.
Hans, last question before we let you go, because we've kind of established here that if everyone's holding their breath until they see all of these people in orange jumpsuits, that's not going to end well for those individuals. Is it possible that the revelation that we have with this new information, plus other information that is possibly to come out in addition to it, is it possible to still make a remarkable difference in how our government functions in the future, that it can still be used in a way to improve the safety, the security, and the honesty and the integrity that it exists in our intelligence agencies, our Department of Justice, without seeing those culprits sitting in a jail cell?
The answer to that is yes. And if you doubt that, just look back at history. Remember in the early 1970s, after similar revelations about bad things that our intelligence agencies had done, there were a series of hearings held in Congress that led to massive reforms of our intelligence agencies. Now, some people argue that some of those were not good, but that's an example of what ought to be done here. We need this disclosure so that we can figure out what kind of reforms need to be put in place today to make sure this doesn't happen again, that no president, I don't care which party they are, uses our intelligence agencies for political targeting.
Amen to that. Hans, I was excited that we had you on the show the day after Tulsi Gabbard's comments at the White House. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to be bringing it up. Russia is what we've been talking about the whole time we've been talking. It's been a decade.
Right.
It's been pretty crazy. Thanks for being with us here today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky is the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner and DOJ lawyer. He also is host of Case in Point, the legal show for regular people, which is basically what we try to have him do here. It's great to have Hans back. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to kind of discuss this YouTube poll today. People are questioning if Russiagate or the Epstein story are cover-ups at all. Are they cover-ups for each other? A lot of political angling going on around. It's interesting to see who has an elected position of power who, instead of talking about the actual issue, is talking about the idea of a cover-up. Let's discuss when we come back. Don't go away. 18, say it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of an issue for the president, if you know, this has actually split MAGA in many ways. In some ways, it's the first real example we've seen of that.
Well, I think you've seen the sort of influencer, self-described influencer salon here, basically in Washington, that's completely spun up about it. The surveys I see of regular voters say that they're a whole lot more worried about, can they afford a house? Are mortgage rates too high? What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with trade? I think that the president's right to try to refocus attention on that, because I think voters do care about it more. But you're correct that the talk radio influencers, the clickbait influencers, those people, they think this is ripe for profit.
I just reached out to a whole bunch of our Trump voters from our All Over the Map project, and you're right, actually. You're right. They're, none of them said they're turning on the president, and they all say costs, the economy, are way more important to them. But they also say this smells. They also say this smells, and they want to know why, and they think they're hiding something. You may be exactly right. We'll see. And what matters a year from now matters a whole lot more than now about the political impact. But a lot of these people are Trump voters, not necessarily Republican voters. Mm-hmm. And so do they show up in the midterms? And it could be the tiniest little thing on the margins, as we learn in every one of our elections. I agree with you that it might not be the most important thing to your everyday Trump voter out there, but it's still important. And they think they're being lied to.
That's CNN talking about the Epstein stuff. When we were covering that earlier, did you feel like the Epstein story, Ryan, when Donald Trump was talking about it, to rub you the wrong way when he was like, stop talking about it. If you support me, you will do what I say. If you're not with me, then you're against me.
Yeah, it was
my
words,
swing
and a miss,
but pretty close.
Yeah, it was bad. It was the worst thing he's done. Well, other than my issues with the budget, that to me is the biggest miss he's had so far.
That didn't last a week, and he was directing Pam Bondi to release more information, the grand jury stuff, which a Florida judge actually struck down. There are apparently two places that can or need to, I don't know if they both needed to, or if one can do it or the other, if there are different sets of testimonies, but there are two places, New York and Florida, I believe, and the Florida judge said, no, you're not releasing. They put a block on releasing those grand jury testimonies from the Florida case where Epstein was tried. And my understanding is he had a plea deal. The allegation is, and the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, that Donald Trump was informed at the end of May that his name is in the Epstein files. I personally do not believe that Donald Trump ever did anything nefarious at all with Jeffrey Epstein or any of Epstein's cohorts. And it's rich to me that just even the breadcrumb, the little teeny tiny carrot that is dangled out there that says his name is in there, is enough to make a lot of people on the left say that there is a massive cover-up with the Epstein story. What makes sense to me, and this is just me reading the tea leaves and probably being wrong about it, is that Donald Trump's name has always been associated with Jeffrey Epstein. They are in photos together. Epstein was at Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump flew on his plane intracontinentally. Mm-hmm. Better said, he didn't leave the country. He didn't go to the island. There's no records of Donald Trump going to the island. That they were in the same circles, that they did business or were among the same business people. But Donald Trump had a distaste for Jeffrey Epstein, and Donald Trump booted him out of Mar-a-Lago for being inappropriate with the young women who worked at Mar-a-Lago. And there is an investigator in Florida who has testified that when it came time with that Florida case to investigate Jeffrey Epstein and what he did, Donald Trump made himself readily available and said, anything you need, let me know and I will help you, because he thought that Epstein was a scumbag. I don't really think that that's something that a person who was going to get busted if stuff was uncovered, that that's something that they would do, is insert them into that situation. But I don't know. I haven't seen the documents. Neither have you. So everybody who's out there saying Donald Trump, they basically are saying, they're trying to allege that essentially Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein did everything hand in hand. Like Donald Trump is now on par with Jeffrey Epstein. And there is zero evidence that suggests that Donald Trump has ever done anything even remotely near the type of stuff that Jeffrey Epstein was in trouble for. They were in the same place at the same time. I think that that sucks. You know, I've been in the same place with some pretty trashy people in my life. If we had a photograph taken together, you know, I just this teeny tiny bit of public figure life that I live. If we go to an event, I take pictures with people. I don't know who those people are. If I do know them as maybe people who are prominent in the communities that we're representing, there are a lot of reasons why photos get taken with other people. Donald Trump does know Jeffrey Epstein. They were in the same places together. They did fly together. But there is zero evidence that has been made public to you or to me that says that he's guilty of these types of things. Now, we've known for a long time that his name is on that list. And there are a lot of people who are on that list who didn't do anything wrong. What an ace in the hole it would be from an incredibly corrupt intelligence community all the way up to Barack Obama. Why would Joe Biden be any different? Oh, because he wouldn't know what was going on because he had AutoPen taking care of the presidency while he was on Ambien, not paying attention to the actual work of the presidency, according to Hunter Biden, at least. Is it too far of a stretch to think that the Epstein files would have been tampered with so that when President Trump got back into office and we've been shouting about this as Trump supporters, release the files, tell us everything about Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump won a campaign where it was no secret. Ask all the Trump supporters, what do you think about the Jeffrey Epstein stuff? Release it all. Hang him in the streets. You know, if you're a child abuser, maximum sentence. That's almost 100% issue for Trump supporters. So what do you do if you're a corrupt intelligence community? You change the files so that when Donald Trump gets back in there and they're like, let's release a file, they're like, oh man, I know that's not accurate. Again, this is just me reading tea leaves. I don't know that this happened, but this is kind of what I feel like happened. They got there and they realized that information in those files was corrupt. Here's the other thing. If you come out and, because my first inclination is to say, tell everybody they're corrupt. Tell them you know they're corrupt. Figure out how to prove that you weren't where they said that you were somehow or another. Prove that they're corrupt. If you start saying that everything that the intelligence community has had since certain people were in place is now corrupt, how does anything else that they're doing stand? If the files, if the community was corrupt and you can show that there is reasonable doubt that the information coming out of this intelligence community is accurate and not fraudulent, everything goes up in smoke. It's such a tightrope to walk. Now, with all that being said, if Donald Trump is listed in these files and he's not implicated on any actual wrongdoing, just maybe like poor judgment because he was in the same place with Jeffrey Epstein at the same time, that's not a crime. If he is not implicated for any wrongdoing, then I want to see, then give us the information. We can handle it. The American people trust Donald Trump now way more than they trust the bureaucracy. And I think that's going to continue going on. So do you think Russiagate is some sort of issue that's being used to cover up Donald Trump's connection to Epstein? Do you think that the Epstein story is something that, because you see the left coming out quite a bit and saying, we want the files, let's subpoena, let's make sure everything comes out, we want everything, why is Donald Trump not wanting to release these now? Are they trying to make that a big story because they don't want to be implicated in the Russiagate situation? Or is all that conspiratorial nonsense and people use it to entertain themselves and they need to get a hobby? Either or, Annie Fry YouTube channel, come vote. Wiggins America. Habits that make you instantly likable.
Yep. So if people self-help? Hate you, by 1 o'clock, that's going to change for you.
It's a big day.
Yeah, it's a big day for you.
It's a really big day for you. Thanks for tuning into our show. Ryan's going to help you out here next. Don't go away.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
All right.
Ryan's words to live by. Are you good at these things?
These things make you likable?
The advice that you're going to give. Are you already in practice?
Well, I don't know. I kind of mixed bag. I think I'm probably good at some of these, but generally speaking, I'm good at the best ones.
Is humility one of them?
No. It's not on here. Number one, these are things that are going to make you instantly likable.
Okay.
So listen up if people absolutely hate your guts. Number one, smile. Would it hurt you to smile?
Oh my gosh. This is so true. People don't smile. RBF is a thing. Resting witch face.
Which does not start with a B.
It does on this show.
Got it.
When you're, this is like creepy to say this, but I will try to walk around with like a pleasant smile on my face. And it's something I'm having to tell myself to do. It doesn't come naturally.
Okay.
But if you do that, people are nicer to you.
Yes, they are. Because they think you're happy to see them, even though you hate them.
No. That's, I don't know. No. It's not. No? It's not hatred.
Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking about a million other things, and it makes my face look like this. Rah! It's not good.
Not anymore.
No, because I walk around like this.
Oh. Wow.
What does that look sound like? We just heard like the rah.
That's what I just did.
It sounds like this.
Okay.
Yeah. Like this. This is me talking with
what's
a smile.
What's the face that matches the corn sound that you made last week?
It's a gruff sort of growl.
No, I mean, like, what's the face that matches
yeah.
it?
It's great radio.
Yeah, I don't know what you...
Show us your face.
Thanks, Ethan.
So, it's just in general, smile.
In general, and it's the number one tip on here.
Yeah, that's a real thing. It will make... some psychologist told me this one time, but when you smile, you become happier.
Okay.
So, I do that for myself, and it genuinely does make me feel happier.
I think I used to smile more. I think the older I get, the less I smile.
That's why the smile looks a little more like I'm just here showing my teeth, rather than
yeah.
I'm so grit.
Like a little kid
tooth.
Smile.
I am so happy right now.
Did your kids ever do that?
I've never been
take a
happy.
Picture when you smile when they're 2 years old and they just go
Yes.
They think that's smiling.
And what you do is you say you're going to take a picture and they're smiling real cute. And then when they think you're getting ready to take the picture, then they do the teeth grit thing. So you just have to take it before they do that.
Yeah, you got
to. And also,
them.
Folks, candid photos are better. Go on.
Number two is showing up and showing up on time.
Mm-hmm.
Giving people the respect of mainly at this point, they're saying ghosting is so common. That just showing up or saying that you're not going to be there
Who's
is
ghosting?
Courteous.
Just kids these days?
Kids, anybody on Facebook Marketplace, ever.
This is not what kindness is about. That's about transactions.
But it's true. You got to show up and do so on time, which shows respect and makes people like you because you're valuing them.
Yeah.
Number three, embracing when the joke is on you.
Oh, for sure.
Who do you think's really good at this?
You.
I could say that I'm
Ethan?
Good at it or I'm really bad at it. I don't know which. Because sometimes I don't get it.
Well, see, there's a difference between truly, genuinely living in that moment and understanding. I think we're all having a good faith, good time. Mm-hmm. And the other side where it's really good radio. Which I think that we toe that line well here. We poke fun at each other, but we care about each other.
That's easy to say when you're the person who dishes it out mostly.
Yeah, I know. I was saying that. Go on. Let me have it.
Oh, no. I think that you do a fine job. I just don't think that you consider those around you very well. Number five. I skipped number four because it was making eye contact. And anytime I say that one, it's weird because then we all start looking at each other and thinking about it. And I don't want to do that. Number five, admitting your mistakes.
Big.
believe it or not, most people are hanging on to things that they should just admit and get past them because the other person already knows that you're hanging on to it.
But Ryan, what if you never make mistakes? Then what?
Annie, I don't know. Can you speak to that?
I make a ton of mistakes. I've made mistakes in this show already. I think the worst thing is the defensive nature. Like, if you're trying to rectify a mistake, it's something that, like, kids have to grow out of. But if your initial reaction to a mistake is first to be defensive, it's like, at least in a professional setting, or if you've got a good relationship with somebody and you're trying to work together towards an end goal, if the defensive thing comes into play right away, it's just like, okay, let's just get past this. This is an attack, but we need to keep moving forward in a productive way. It's not necessary. But you have to be working with people who are not going to be super upset about the mistake more than they want to get the job done right.
Have you ever met people who also will admit to a mistake right away, but also assume that that means that they're free of it? Like, right away, they're like, that was me. And you're like, yeah, but that was a problem. You can't just say that was me and then everybody moves on. No looking around the room at that one, please.
No eye contact.
I don't know, please. Ethan, I don't know anybody like that.
No, not a soul.
No?
No one in this room for sure.
Dr. Mark Siegel next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.